good evening. Good to see all of you here. We're glad to have you back this evening to our evening service. Well, we had a good turnout at prayer this evening. At 6 o'clock, we meet over here on this side of the church for prayer. Let me remind you, on Sunday mornings at 9:30, 9:40, we also have prayer, men's prayer meeting over beside the Spanish Sunday School class. Ladies meet in here in the choir. Make yourself available to those if you can get here and be in there and just spend a little time with prayer. That is encouraging to see so many that was there tonight in our time of prayer. And prayer is important. Our nation's a nation that needs prayer. And so I'm glad to see you guys be faithful to that. And if you're not part of that, please and come get involved and join that important part of our ministry. The Call to Glories are over here on this side on the table, the November Call to Glories. The November church calendar is over here. On the front row right there beside Brother Ray, there's a voting thing from the Coalition, Family Coalition there, give you some information on our senators and our president runners there to let you see what's going on and their opinions on them. Use those there if you can to help you. If you have information already on your own, make sure that you get out and do your part in voting, wherever you do. And if you can, you're going to vote the right way. I suggest you vote about six times. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Vote once. That's what's the legal way to do it. It really is. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if they asked me for my photo ID when I walk in there. Yes, sir, Brother Felipe?
It's required.
It's required? So it should be required in all the United States of America. They make me present a photo ID to get a job here. No, it's just that simple. I don't think it's racist. I don't think it's oppression at all. When I get buy something, buy an automobile, they make me show an ID. So it just keeps everything above board. So do your part. And part of your part is praying. Pray, ask God what to do, who to vote for, and which one of these candidates line up and parties line up with the Word of God as closely as possible, and do your part. And you say, well, I'm just too busy to do it. Okay, the next 4 years, ticking off. Enjoy your ride. It's that simple. If you're not going to vote, don't fuss and complain. This is our right, you know, and so use it. Use that right.
Amen.
And what else I got to say? Nothing much. Nothing. Anybody got any information before I turn it over to Brother Torado? I think that's it. Well, tonight we have a missionary family with us visiting, the Torado family. Brother Torado, our ladies of our church, would like to present this to your wife and daughter. Hope it's a blessing to them. He's headed back to the field Thursday. He's on his way back. And so he's going to come tonight, show us a little bit of slides, preach a little bit for us, and enjoy the Word of God tonight. Good to see all of y'all here tonight, and glad to have visitors here tonight as well. So, Brother Trot, come on up, make yourself at home, and enjoy the time that's been given to you there. I don't know if you want to start with slides, testimony, however you want to do it. It's simple around.
Good evening to everyone, and Lord bless you. And we're the Torado family, Tirado in Spanish, Roberto Tirado. And I'm originally from Puerto Rico. I'm here with my wife, Angela. She'll stand up, and we've been married 29 years. And our daughter, Elizabeth, we have four other children. They're all grown up. They're 27, 25, 23, 21, and then 12 years later, after our last child, we thought, the Lord gave us Elizabeth, and she's 9 years old, and the Lord's blessed us. We've been in the Dominican Republic now for 7 years, and 8 months serving there in the capital city, Santo Domingo, the west part of Santo Domingo. We're in a barrio area called El Café, which means coffee, and we've been working there with the people now for a little bit over 6 years, and Thursday we get to go back home. States are anymore just a place that we come to visit family, come back to report to churches, but our home now is there in the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, and we're excited about getting back Thursday morning early, getting back to the country God's called us to and the people. We'll go ahead and I'll show the slides or the video tonight and get you a better idea about what we're doing. Okay? Thank you. Yes, sir. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And the brother who helped me tonight with the mic and everything told me that I could walk all the way back and anywhere I wanted to. He said, but don't go past the fourth row from the back. He said then he couldn't see me and what I needed. But I think I'll stay right around here, around the pulpit, close to my notes and the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4 tonight. And it's a simple message about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that gospel should do in our lives and what that gospel is capable of and what we should do with that gospel that's been entrusted to us. God's been so good to us. And thinking about America, there's nothing like America, land of plenty. America that is called the Christian nation by many. Maybe we've gotten away from that, but it's still the greatest nation in the history of the world. And it's a great place to be, but there's great need throughout the world to get the gospel out to people who've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, be it right here in Orlando, Kissimmee area, or in the Dominican Republic where we serve, or whatever country or people that we need to get that gospel out to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for the church house. And I thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity to be able to preach the Word of God, to present our field of the Dominican Republic to the good people of Flock Haven Baptist Church. Thank you, Father, for a time where we could gather on Sunday night and hear the Word of God. I pray, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit would work in each and every one of us, that the Word of God would work in us and change us, transform us, dear Father. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Stockton, I had contacted him. We have visited here a couple different times. I have some family that is over in Kissimmee. And I had visited here, and I had sent a communication over to Pastor Stockton, asked him if we could have an opportunity to present our field of the Dominican Republic to the good people here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. And we worked out a date for tonight, and so glad to be here. Thank you for the gifts from my wife and daughter. Thank you. Hopefully that'll make up for Mother's Day and anniversaries and things like that of the past. So I thank all the ladies for presenting those gifts to her that maybe I forgot. I don't know. I'd have to ask my wife about that. But we're excited to be here. God has called us to a needy country, the Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic, we have around 10 million souls that are there in the Dominican. We minister both to the Dominicans, and also to the Haitian people that come to our church, that we reach out to in that community, El Café de Herrera, and Santo Domingo Oeste, and West Santo Domingo, And we're excited about what God is doing through us, and with the people that we have reached there in Santo Domingo. We're excited about it. Like you saw on the video, we share the island of Hispaniola, which is probably about 10 million, with Haiti. And there's a great need in both countries to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're excited about that. Just over 32 years ago, in September 1984, I was out. I wasn't saved. I was lost as could be. Had served in the Navy 6 years, and I was living on the island of St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands in the Caribbean. And one night I was out. As I explained already, I was lost, not saved, not a Christian. And I was out drinking that night, and I was on the east side of the island, Christiansted. And I was driving back home to my apartment, and I apparently fell asleep and glanced off another car as it was crossing, and I hit a tree, a big old mahogany tree. And the car was so crushed that they couldn't get me out of there when they came to rescue me. And they had to bring equipment called the Jaws of Life. And they had to tear my car apart. They had to open it up like you would maybe a can of tuna to get me out of there. I don't remember any of this. They took me to the local hospital there, and that's when I woke up in the emergency room. And they found out that I had a fractured pelvis, a dislocated right hip, and just beat up all over the place. And through that, my sister, the one that lives right over here in Kissimmee, started to write to me. She had gotten saved at an independent Baptist church in Augusta, Georgia, the Providence Baptist Church. And she started to write to me and send me tracts and witness to me through the mail. And she got counsel from her pastor. And she said, this is what the pastor said to me about you. And I read those tracts, and I read that letter from my sister who didn't want me to die and go to hell. And that motivated her, that accident that I suffered and spent 6 weeks in traction in that hospital there in St. Croix. And it gave me time to think. But when I got out, I went back to the same way, obviously not saved. And a while later, my sister invited me to move to Augusta, Georgia, to help her with her two boys while her husband was in the Army going to Korea. So I agreed. I resigned my job and got to Augusta, Georgia, June 28, 1985. And on a Friday, that Saturday, my sister invited me to go to church with her on that following Sunday, on the 30th of June. And I told my sister, I'll go one time. Just to please my sister, to get that out of the way, not to bother me again. I'm going to church. I'll visit your church only one time. That was my plans, but God had other plans in mind. And when the pastor preached, Pastor Terry Wilson preached the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that morning, June 30th, 1985, God touched my heart. And the Holy Spirit convicted me and convinced me that I was a sinner, lost and dying, going to hell. And I believed in heaven and hell, but I didn't know how to get to heaven. I didn't know how to avoid hell. No one had ever told me. No one had ever come to me and preached the gospel to me. And I lived most of my life. I was born in Puerto Rico. I was almost 27 years of age when I got saved. And so no one had ever preached the gospel to me. And that morning when the pastor gave the invitation, I tapped my sister on the shoulder. And I said, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. And I came down to the pulpit, and the pastor said, what do you want? I said, I want to get saved. And he directed me over to Brother Richard, who was a song leader there at the church. And he went through the Romans Road, but I already knew what I needed to do to get saved. The preacher had preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had preached the Word of God that morning to us. And that morning, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. That morning, God gifted to me eternal salvation, eternal life. God gave me, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God gave me that salvation through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in Him, I confess the name of Christ, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did it as best I could, as the Bible said. I did it. I asked Jesus to save me, to forgive me of all my sins. And Jesus saved me. That right after I got saved, Pastor Wilson told me, now that you're saved, you need to get baptized. I said, okay. And that evening, came back to church. Even though I told my sister only one time, let's get this over with. Came back to church that night, got baptized, became a member of the Providence Baptist Church there in Augusta, Georgia. All that because someone took the time to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Now my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now all my sins, past, present, and future, are all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than being a Christian. I lived almost 27 years outside the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lost man. A lost man on his way to heaven. On his way to hell. And Jesus saved me. Now I have a little bit over 31 years in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. It's the greatest life. I can compare the two lives. A lot of times young people, they see things on TV or on the videos on YouTube, and they see their friends, and they see what's going on, and they think that that's the life to have, to live. And that's such a lie. And that's the devil's lie. When we see people living like that, without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in this book here, the 1 Corinthians, he writes about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was the founder and the pastor of this church for 18 months. He had taught the people the gospel when it all started. They had baptized believers. They had gotten people founded. New believers founded in the things of God and the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul tells us three different things here about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that we see about the gospel is the explanation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible definition of the gospel we see in verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So we see that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we use that word, we ought to be intelligent. We ought to know what that word means. When I first got saved, I knew less than zero about the things of God. I knew practically nothing about the Word of God and about what the Word of God said. And here, Paul says that the gospel's in three parts. He says, first, there's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world, for the sins of the people that live in America, for the sins of the people that live in the Dominican Republic, for the sins of all the people of this world, ever since Adam and Eve till the last person that's born into this world. He died for them. He died and was buried, the Bible says, and He spent 3 days and 3 nights there in the tomb.
But he rose again the third day, the Bible says. And all that is according to the scriptures. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus Christ that these evil people crucified him. That was the plan of God. The Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 7. Written 600-700 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us here in a graphic way what the Lord went through on the cross of Calvary for us. Jesus died. He was abused. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was disrobed. And there he is hanging on the cross of Calvary, crucified there. Nails in his hands and nails in his feet. All that to pay our sin debt on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood, where he shed that perfect blood for us, that pure blood for us on the cross of Calvary. And we need to understand the sacrifice. We need to understand what God did for us on the cross of Calvary, when he died for us, when he came to seek and to save us. To save us from our own sins, from our own selves. And we have to be able to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. What he went through on the cross of Calvary. We need to understand the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We need to appreciate it. We need to respect it. We need to honor. We need to reverence what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
One of the things I like to do is go back in my mind and remember June 30th, 1985, the day I was born again, the day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I haven't gotten over my salvation yet. And it's been 32 years, 31 years, and I haven't gotten over my salvation. It's not anything. I love to think about my salvation. I love to think about that day that I came forward when I heard the gospel and came forward and received Christ as my Savior. That evening, got baptized and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I tell you, that's the greatest day of my life right there. The day that Jesus saved me. The day that everything was changed from being a lost man to being a saved Christian, to being a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get complacent with what we have. I think we've gotten complacent in America with what we have. This is the land of plenty. This is, as I said before, it's the greatest nation in the history of the world. It's a great place to live. But you know what? To be an American and to die and go to hell, that's not God's plan for you. God's plan for each and every one of us is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and have that gospel work in our lives. The explanation of the gospel. Sometimes we use words, religious words, Bible words, and we think that everybody understands what those words mean. When I was in the Navy from 76 to 82, I remember the first 4 years of my enlistment, Jimmy Carter was president. And he talked about being born again. I don't know if he is or not, hopefully he is. But he talked about being born again, and I've heard that terminology before, but I didn't understand what it meant. And sometimes we speak to people and we say, hey, we're a gospel preaching church. It'd be good to explain to those people what the gospel means and what the significance of that word, what it means, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. The word declare makes to make known. We want to make known to people what the gospel means. Paul had worked in this church. Paul had founded this church. Paul was a pastor for 18 months, but he's coming back again, reminding people of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the explanation of the gospel, but we also see the effectiveness of the gospel. What does a gospel do to a person who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior? Well, the Bible tells us that. In verse 2, the Bible says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. The gospel will save a person. The gospel preached to someone and explained to a lost person will save that person. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is the power of God. It's the dunamis power. It's that dynamite power that transforms lives. It saves lives. It transforms lives. What good is it if we say that we're Christian? If we say that we're saved, that we're born again, and then we act like the world, and we dress like the world, and we talk like the world does, and nothing changes in us. And the people don't see a change in us. But the power of God comes upon us, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel will change us. That the Holy Spirit comes inside. The Holy Ghost of God comes inside of us and transforms us and starts to change us. And the Word of God sanctifies us. And the Word of God cleans us up. And the Word of God goes and changes us and gives us new desires. We live a different life now. Why live the same life? Where's the power in that? Why listen to the music of the world? Where is the power of God in that? Before I got saved, as I mentioned a little while ago, I drank. And I like to drink. And it got me in trouble there that night when I had that car wreck. But since I've been saved, I haven't tasted one drop of beer, one drop of wine, one drop of rum. Why? Because of the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. There's a Holy Spirit in there now. And that Holy Spirit, when I think something wrong, when I do something wrong, when I say something wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me.
Amen.
He's there to help me, to guide me, what to do, what not to do. I don't have to live according to the world rules. I don't have to live according to what the world says anymore. I'm a born-again child of God. I have the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me. And this body of mine is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. Again, the Apostle Paul writes to us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Some people consider the preaching of the cross foolishness. Are you crazy? Are you telling me that there was this man named Jesus and that he died and he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the grave? Yep, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people that consider that foolishness, that preaching of the cross foolishness. But he goes on to say, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Yes.
How could you have the power of God in you and not change? How could you have the power of God in you and still have the same desires that you had before you supposedly were saved? It's a great thing. We get that gospel to people, and that gospel will work in the Dominican Republic. And it does work in the Dominican Republic. And you can get that gospel out to people that live in Kissimmee and Orlando and in any country and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel will work.
Amen.
But we have to work it. Our president of the college I graduated from, Bible College, he always told us, plan your work, and then you work your plan. And that's what we got to do as Christians, is to get the gospel out, to preach the gospel. If the gospel transformed your life, now you're a born-again child of God, don't you think that other people would like to have forgiveness of sins? Don't you think that other people would like to have eternal life? To have their sins all forgiven? To have a home prepared, reserved for them in heaven? Don't you think they'd love to have that? And that's where we come to the expansion of the gospel. The expansion of the gospel. In verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That word delivered there means to entrust. God has entrusted to us the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the gospel not to just for ourselves, but to preach the gospel.
Yes.
To get the gospel out to all nations, to every creature, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what missions is. Getting the gospel out to those who have never heard. Preaching the gospel and going to different foreign countries and preaching the gospel and getting the Word of God out to them. There's only one thing that transforms a life, and that's the Word of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for us just to have and to hold and to cherish and to guard in our hearts. No, it's to preach the gospel.
Yes.
To get that message out to every person in this world. To preach the gospel to the people in China. To preach the gospel to the people in Africa. To preach the gospel to the people who live here in Florida. To preach the gospel to the Dominican people. To preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation, the Bible says. In Mark 16, 14 and 15, the Bible says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a great command that is. To preach the gospel. Our church is called the Iglesia Bautista La Gran Comisión. The Great Commission Baptist Church. The Great Commission. What an awesome thing God has given us. The privilege to preach the gospel. To each person to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To each Christian, to every Christian, to every born-again child of God, to preach the gospel, to get the Word of God out to them. We have to labor. We need to publish the Word of God. We need to herald the word of God. We need to communicate to lost people that Jesus saves. We need to get the Word out to them. We can't keep it to ourselves. When we have football season here in America, professional or college, we wear it on our sleeves. I'm for Florida. I'm for Florida State. I'm for Miami. I'm for the Dolphins. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. We wear it on our sleeves. We publish it. We let everyone know who our favorite team is. And we follow them, and we're more than happy to share that with people, but at times we're not happy to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're timid, we're cold at times to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At times we're too timid to hand someone a verse and say, God bless you, Jesus loves you. At times we don't do what we should do with the gospel. We need to expand the gospel if it's through the bus ministry or our missions or whatever way it is, our Sunday school, to expand our reach, to expand the reach of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has entrusted us with the power of God, with that life-transforming gospel. Without the gospel, no one gets saved. If we don't preach to them what Jesus did for them, how he died on Calvary's cross to forgive all of their sins, we need to understand the explanation of the gospel. We need to understand the effectiveness of the gospel. If we preach the gospel, it'll do its job. We do our part, God does his part. We get the gospel out. The effectiveness of the gospel, but also the expansion of the gospel. My pastor invested 12 weeks in me, and he taught me how to soul win, how to win souls. He gave me books to read. He gave me verses to memorize. It's a plan from David Wood. This is 31 years ago this month. In October 1985. And he started to train me to be a soul winner. And he said for 12 weeks we would go out and knock doors. He said the first 6 weeks that he was going to do all the talking. And the second 6 weeks I was going to do all the talking. I was going to be doing all the witnessing. And I remember that first week and knocking on a door. And knowing it was my turn to speak, to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was so nervous. And I was praying. And I was asking God, God, I pray that no one's home. And God, if there's someone home, I pray that they don't open this door up because I'm too scared to speak to them the gospel. But God didn't hear my prayers, and people started to come to the door. And I'd witness to them and the best way that I could, the best way that my preacher taught me. On our 12th week, my pastor said, you know, Brother Robert, he said, you haven't won anyone through the Lord yet. He says, we're going to have to continue this on. And I said, well, you never told me this before we started. And so on that 12th week, on a Saturday morning, we were out in a nice neighborhood in Augusta, Georgia, and we saw a black man. He was standing back there, and he was feeding his dogs or something. And he saw us and very kind, and he said, I'll be right with you. And he invited us into his home, and we sat down, and we chatted for a while. And then I went through the Romans road, like I was taught. I told him that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. And then I said, there is a penalty that God puts on our sins. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And then I showed him, I said, but that doesn't where it is. I said, God gave us his son who died on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And this whole time, this young man is there listening to me. And I never got through the whole plan all by myself. And I got to the last point and I said, you know, The Bible says that if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I asked him, would you like to be saved right now? Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And to my surprise, he said yes. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And we prayed, and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. He came to church. He got baptized, became a member there at Providence Baptist Church. That changed me forever to win my first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ 31 years ago this month, this very month. It was awesome. It's great to see that a person that was on their way to hell now is on their way to heaven. Now he's got the eternal life. Had his sins all forgiven. And that's what God wants for us, to expand the reach of the gospel. And he does that through the local church, which is us. It's every born again child of God's responsibility to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just for your preacher. It's not just for the deacons. It's not for people on staff here. It's everybody's responsibility to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You either have an obedient child of God or you got a disobedient child of God. When I was in the Navy, and we were out at sea, especially when we were out at sea, whatever command that man in charge, the captain of the ship, gave us, we were to comply with that command. We were to obey that command. And each one of us ought to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's commanded us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a suggestion. He's commanded us. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you saved? If you were to die right now, right there in your pew tonight, would heaven be your home, or would you be like that rich man in Luke chapter 16? He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Just like that, he went off to hell. We were in a church in Illinois, I think was the state, years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And I said, Pastor, hey, how's your church going? How are you doing? He says, we're having revival here. I said, really? Wow, that's great. He said that a man, a member of their church, was up here singing a special. He said he was a big guy, singing a special to the Lord. And he died and slumped over the pulpit. He died right there in front of everybody. Ambulance came and took his body away. And he said that got a lot of people thinking about their salvation and they were really saved. Let me ask you something. What's changed in your life? What have you given up? You still listen to the same music? You still, there's no change in you? When the preacher preaches the Word of God, it doesn't stir you up. It doesn't convict you. It doesn't give you joy. Maybe there's something wrong with you. Maybe you're backslid, or maybe you're not saved. If you died right now, would you be certain, 100% certain, that heaven would be your home?
Amen.
Church doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. Good works doesn't save you. Because your mom and dad are saved doesn't save you. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It all starts with the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would kindly bow your heads tonight, close your eyes, and think about what's been preached tonight. The gospel message. That gospel that not only saves, but that gospel that also transforms a life. Are you a born-again child of God? And if you are, are you getting the gospel out? Are you preaching the gospel? You have some tracts with you and you hand them out. And you invite people to church and you get the plan of salvation to them. Are you doing that? Are you doing that?